Blog Talk Radio.
We are New Beginnings Ministry, and we're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m. And we do thank you for being a part of this evening. Before, as we continue to move on, we'd like to let you know that we are an interactive Bible study. So as you're listening, please make sure that you mute your phone or whatever device that you're using, because we can hear everything in the background. It just picks up. These mics are so sensitive, and they pick up everything. So if you can mute it until the speaker opens up the mic for questions or comments, if you could do that, and therefore we won't have to worry about the noises in the background becoming a distraction from the Word of God. We're going to be in Cleveland this evening. Amen, amen, amen. It's good to be back home. We will be hearing from Pastor Sheena Cameron, and she is the pastor from UMC, Cleveland, Ohio. She's coming from New Jersey. I think she's been here maybe a couple of months, so we do welcome her in to the cold, cold weather of Cleveland. Amen. As we move forward, we'd like to let you know that, again, we are an interactive Bible study. If you'd like to call in, the call-in number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. And once you call in, you can participate once the speaker opens up for questions or comments. Amen, amen, amen. We also let you know that everything that we do on Blog Talk Radio is recorded in the archive. So if you would like to go back and share it with a friend, family members, you know how it is, just proclaiming the gospel, it's an opportunity to allow them to listen in. So you can go into Blog Talk Radio, then you would type in We Can Begin Again. That's We Can Begin Again in Blog Talk Radio. You'll see the eagle, and you can pull up any of the 300 or so archives, even the one this evening. Amen. And I'm looking forward to hearing what God has placed on this pastor's heart this evening. Right now, we're going to move on over into her territory. We're going to turn the mic over to her and allow her to move forward as the Lord says so. Pastor Sheena Cameron, are you there?
Yes, I am here. How are you?
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good to hear your voice. And we do welcome you being a first time on line here on Blog Talk Radio. We thank you so much for the invitation, and I know that we're going to be blessed. It's almost like there are people from all over the states, and we're just like right around the table and just listening and feeding on the Word of God. Amen. We are all part of the body of Christ.
Amen. Amen. And so I just wanted to just thank you, Mr. John Clay, for the invitation, and your wife, Suzanne, Dr. Suzanne Clay, for the invitation. It is just really good where we can just be in a place where we support each other's ministry. Amen. And so
I want to
let you know that I've been telling people everywhere that I go about what it is that you're doing, and I just believe in a platform, and it's just good that you're giving us an avenue through which, in our busy schedules, we don't have to drive nowhere, we don't got to, you know, worry about dinner, this, that, or the third. We can just sit on down wherever we might be and plug into God's Word. So this is a beautiful opportunity.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
And so I wanted to jump, you're welcome, I wanted to jump in. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tonight, and we're going to begin at verse 11, and we are going to conclude at verse 20. And so I'm going to be reading from the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible, and I will be coming to you about reconciliation, and more specifically, what we as Christians can do, or what God has allowed us to be able to do when people just simply don't apologize. I think a lot of times we talk about when people are apologetic, we know what to do, but I think God has given me something on tonight for people who are experiencing a situation when maybe the apology isn't yet ready. And so for those who have it, we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11 through 20, and I'm just going to offer a short word of prayer while you're still yet turning the pages. God, we thank you, we praise you, we love you. and we just ask that you break the bread of life to us tonight. We thank you for an avenue by which the gospel can be spread. Lord, you said in your word that if the gospel is hid, it is hid to those who are lost. So, God, we're just asking you that as this platform is reaching people, we just ask you that you prick our own hearts. We just ask you that you speak to us, and we just ask you that you allow us to be humble so that even in all of our right doing, that we're not too above ourselves to be changed. We're not too above ourselves to be inspired. All these things we ask in the name of Jesus, our Christ and Lord, we pray. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we try to persuade others, but we ourselves are well known to God, and I hope that we're also well known to your consciences. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you an opportunity to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast in outward appearances and not in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all. Therefore, all have died.
Mm-hmm.
And he
died
for all so that those who live might no longer suffer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view, even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view. We no longer know him in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new.
Come on.
This is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given to us the spirit of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ. Be reconciled to God. Amen.
Amen.
And so before I get to reconciliation, I want to talk a little bit about what forgiveness looks like in our world nowadays and what forgiveness looked like for Paul. So for Paul's forgiveness, one must recognize the depth of what has taken place between two people, and mainly because Paul set up churches, we're mostly talking about disputes within a church. And so I think that it's interesting that we, from the onset, we understand that we're not talking about disputes from people who don't know what they're supposed to be doing or don't know how to act, or people who don't have a moral compass, but we are indeed talking about people who have already accepted Christ and they are on the other side of the resurrection, just like we are. And so for Paul, there's just certain patterns of behavior that must be identified before we can even think about moving forward. And I think that it speaks to the way things are nowadays. A lot of times people don't really have the wherewithal, especially when you're talking about when a person has done something wrong. A lot of times people want to hurry up and move past it. Let's just get to the good part. Let's just be friends again. Let's just make everything like it was. But the reality of it is, I think in order for true forgiveness to happen, not like a display or not like something you see on TV, but in order for true forgiveness to happen, then the person who has made the offense has to be able to sit with and understand what they have done and the magnitude of what it entails. And the person who is the one who was offended also has to be able to sit with the ways in which they have participated in that behavior. Because I think a lot of times between people in the church, between people in our families, between people on our jobs, we're really not honest about the ways in which we participate in maladaptive behavior. We're not really honest about the ways in which some things have gone unchecked. And then when we realize that we're done with it and we want to check it, we don't realize that we're part of the reason why it has gone on for so long, because we haven't done the proper work to bring our brother or sister to the side to let them know, hey, this is hurting me. Hey, this isn't okay. Hey, this is really bothering me. Can we sit down and talk? And so I think for Paul, he's trying to usher in an environment in the church at Corinth. He's trying to usher an environment where there's not a lot of suffering of the vulnerable at the hands of those who are bold. Because the reality of it is, a bustling city like Corinth, there's a lot of people with big personalities, and there's a lot of people with a lot to flaunt. There's a lot of people with money. There's a lot of people with prestige. And there are a lot of people who are new to the church world. They're new to what this means. And be honest with you, it's just the wrong conflict. And so when you look at the nature of forgiveness for Paul, I think we can think about, to make it concretely, what about people who handle themselves harshly in public, or people who talk to people like they're talking down to them, or people who are bullies, or people who you can't tell them anything? Sometimes their actions become damaging to not only to the immediate environment, but to the greater community. And so when you're talking about people who need to be forgiven, I think it begs the question, we can't just go with this new way thing. Well, we're going to forgive and forget. You know, everybody want to say, you know what, I'm going to forgive and forget. Then you have a crew of people who say, you know what, I'm going to forgive, but I can't forget. And so what I think Paul is trying to reconcile here is that the people who are trying to live in community have to have a way that they can effectively deal with transgressions and move forward. But I think there's something that we don't say a lot that is the elephant in the room when we talk about forgiveness. Most of the time when we talk about forgiveness, we're telling people what they're supposed to do and say after the person has directly asked for it. Because, see, once a person has asked for forgiveness, then it's like, okay, they asked for forgiveness, I'll see what I can do. Am I in a space where I can forgive them? Am I in a space where I can move forward? Am I in a space where they don't, quote-unquote, deserve the punishment that they should get? But what I want to talk about here is what happens when people don't come to us. What happens when people do not come to us and say sorry? What happens when people do not come to us to apologize? I think what Paul is trying to help us understand is that there's going to always be this tension between holding people accountable for what they do and at the same time understanding when it's okay to release them and offer them a word of reconciliation. And so when a person doesn't say sorry, sometimes we think, oh, well, this person isn't saying sorry. They owe me an apology. They didn't say it because, you know, sometimes we say, well, they didn't say it because that's how they always are. And I wanted to actually stop right there and say, as Christians, we just need to stop saying that's how I am as a justification to hurt people. We can't say that's just how I talk. That's just how I am.
That's right.
Just what I do. Because it comes to a point in time where that's just how I am is a crutch. And it's not
come on, sis, preach.
It's actually not. That's good.
Come on, sis, preach. Come on, sis, preach.
It's
you
a,
own it.
It's a reason. It's a reason to stay stagnant. It's a reason
amen.
To not
amen.
Grow.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. Amen.
Not to take in the things of God. It actually, and this is the dangerous part. When you say that's the way I am, you discount the fact that when you're in Christ, you're a new creature. You discount
amen.
The fact that the one
that's
who
good.
Created you. To make you new.
Amen.
And so.
And not take responsibility. Amen.
Never take responsibility. But guess what? If you never take responsibility, you become
mm-hmm.
a monster. Because we can
that's
never
right.
talk to you about anything because the problem is always outside of the room. If
amen.
You're dealing with a person who the problem
amen.
Is
come
outside
on,
of the
preach.
Room, you're only
uh-huh.
going to go in circles. And so we're
come
always
on.
Trying to instruct the church of Corinth to understand is if you want to move forward, there has
mm-hmm.
to be an identification of what took place. And so what I'm saying is, and I'm just trying to make it plain, he doesn't say
oh, you're making it plain. You're making it plain.
He doesn't say we don't have to, that we have to wait until the person says sorry to forgive. See, that's something that we, as we got into this secular culture, as we got into this Ayala fixed my life and Dr. Phil, this one and the other one, we get into all these secular things where we see it all couched up and all it's packaged nice. Oh, the person says sorry, they got tears in their eyes, and then we forgive them. But he never says that they have to wait until the person says sorry. In fact, what he's saying is, there's this relationship, and the relationship is such that, like this, in Christ, we are constantly being reconciled to God. And so what that means is, if God
so
reconciles not us as individuals only, so yes, God is reconciling us, so when we decide to become Christian disciples, that is us making a decision, and that is us making a claim. And if you're in another tradition where maybe you were baptized as an infant when you are a teenager, you definitely reaffirm that you are in this Christian community, right? So that's one way. So that is a vertical relationship. We are vertically, we are being reconciled to God. But then there's this cosmic reconciliation that God does, because God looks at the world, and though we are in depravity, God is constantly reconciling the world that God created back to himself. So God doesn't look at us and say, you know what, this world is just going down, and I guess I'm just going to understand this is where things are, and I'm just going to let things be. But God is constantly redeeming us, meaning that, yes, Christ went on the cross, and he died for us, and he rose for us. But at the same time, because he is seated at the right hand of the Father, we have constant access as a cosmos to be reconciled to God. So that's creation, that's your animals, that's your plants, that's everything that God has created and called it good, and us who called very good are constantly being brought in right relationship with God. Nothing is left out. So because God is a chief reconciler, what God does is say, you know what, I made humankind in my image, and these are the ones that I love so dearly. I'm going to entrust the ministry of reconciliation to them. So when it says that the ministry of reconciliation has been entrusted to us so that we can give a message of reconciliation, what God is letting us know is, just as God's power is at work in our own lives when we mess up at our own lives, when we don't do what we should do or miss the mark, God has entrusted us to help others to get to the same place.
That's right. That's right.
To pay it forward. And so when
amen.
We're talking about reconciliation, the reason why I'm saying we don't always wait for the person to say sorry is because, truth be told, the people who need the most work are not going to ask for help.
That's right.
The people
that's true.
Who are
that's
so
true. Oh, that's true.
People
that's
so
true.
On the fringes. The people who are really dealing with life and has dealt them a bad hand, or the people who are a victim of their circumstances, it's really going to take a person to see with spiritual eyes and spiritual ears to say, you know what? I'm not going to wait until this person says sorry. And I just wanted to let you all know that I am hearing a little bit of feedback in the background, so I just wanted to make sure that those who are on the line, if we can mute our phones or mute our devices, because I'm about to drive this thing right on home. But we can't wait and say, I'll wait around to see if they say sorry, because God has entrusted us with that ministry. So first of all, that means God trusts us. God trusts us not to be petty. See, a lot of times when we're sitting back waiting for sorry, that's because really we buying time and we petty and we got a little grudge and we saying they owe me this and they owe me that. You don't know what they did to me. You don't know what they said to me. You don't know how that made me feel. And really what it is that's our ego. That's our feeling. That's the way we feel at the time. That's our rage. That's our anger. That's our emotion. And I feel like we got to be honest with ourselves. Sometimes things aren't, we say it all the time. It's not because of what they did. It's how they said it. It's the principle. But sometimes when we're saying it's the principle, we are allowing things to fester. And we know better. To be honest with you, we know better. So when it says that we are entrusted with this ministry, that means that we can have a message in us that brings people into right relationship with each other and brings people into right relationship with God. And so here's the kicker. Sometimes we got to understand that it is almost as equally as important that a person reconciles with us that it is that they reconcile with God, meaning that sometimes it's not that I want to solve everyone's problems, but if I know deep down inside this problem is not a big deal, in my mind, now this is just my mind, I don't want it to fester because I don't know what tomorrow might bring for somebody, because tomorrow's not promised to nobody. So if I can settle it, if I can say, you know what, let's just put this aside, let's just talk about this. Let's just meet you. Let's just talk about what's the issue at hand. Let's see if we can come to an understanding. Because guess what? Christ reconciled us in love and did not count our trespasses, which means we got a ledger just like everybody who has done us wrong. Just like we can remember everything that everybody has ever said to us that hurt us, God could pull out our record of wrongdoing and say, well, you know what? I died for your sins way back on Calvary, and yet you still turn your back on me. And yet there are things that I've asked you to do and you haven't gotten around to doing them. And yet I love you still. And yet I'm here for you still. And if you ask me for forgiveness, and you tell me that you're not going to do it, I throw it in the sea of forgiveness, and I bring you back into right relationship. So Christ has already emulated the behavior that he wants us to emulate to each other. The God who created us has the same power to create relationships anew. And so when we have this ministry of reconciliation, what we're deciding is we are deciding that we will not let the transgression literally debilitate us. You know how many people I meet who are just literally stuck? Like they are just
come on,
stuck.
Sis preach. Come on, sis preach.
They can't move forward because of this thing or that thing. But if you look up 5 years, look up 10 years, look up 15 years. And then you turn around, the person who was involved in this thing with you has moved forward. That's how
so
going. But you're sitting there talking about, well, I can't, I will preach, but I'll be hurt in the church. You say, well, I would do this or that, but it didn't work before. I would do this, but this one left me. I would do that, but they won't help me. We can think of all these reasons why people owe us so much, when at the end of the day, Paul is giving us his paradigm to help us to understand that we have a new life in Christ and we got responsibility. So it's not that we are allowing people to go through life and have transgressions toward us and not punish them. But the truth be told, vengeance is not for us to get anyway. So it's not even us to divvy out the punishments, because if God is the judge, God has to divvy out punishment. So why are we doing somebody a favor by saying, well, I'm not going to talk to them no more. I'm not going to call them no more. I'm not going to do this no more. I'm not going to do that no more. God is looking and saying, but what about the ministry I entrusted to you? What about the reconciliation I put in you? When you have this message, you literally have a word for somebody that can help them get through. And just as well as, and just as well as we are obsessed right now, I feel like people are obsessed saying, you know, I just want to be, you know, every year I want to be whole for 2018. I want to be whole for 2019. And come in 2020, I bet you they're going to be saying, I want to have clear vision in 20. You know, people are going to come up with whatever they come up with. But you know what we always say? We're going to let, when this new year come in, we're going to let what happened in the past, we're going to let it go. But people of God, I think we really need to stop just saying it, and we actually need to do it. We need to stop saying
it. Don't talk about it, be about it. Come on, preach.
Yes, we
got to
stop. Who are we trying to convince? Oh, I'm going to let it go. I'm going to let it go. I'm letting it go. I'm letting it go. But then we go right back to the altar, and we pick it back up. If we want a right relationship with Christ, somewhere else in the New Testament says, how can you love God who you have not seen?
They say that.
But then you can't get along with the people that you do see.
My God.
I think we need to realize that even sometimes, and when we say let it go, even sometimes bringing up the situation. I'm beyond bougie. Everything that I've been through, I don't talk about. And it's not because I'm ashamed. It's not because I'm not admitting to this is who I used to be. But everything that I've been through doesn't even deserve the energy of me even re-bringing it up. Because sometimes we make the mistake of reliving it, re-bringing it up, and then it's bringing up old feelings or whatever. Sometimes we just need to disengage, or we just need to disconnect, because that's not who we are anymore. And yes, you might say it if someone makes a point or whatever the case may be, but I'm going to be honest with you. I don't even hang with people that can't accept the fact that I'm a preacher now. I don't even deal with people who can't affirm God's calling on my life, because if I want to live into what God has for me now, not only do I need to be reconciled with God, people need to be reconciled about who I am as a new creature in Christ. And so if you can't get with the me that I am now, if you can't get with who I'm trying to become in Christ, then it's actually best that I disengage from that. I can't be with somebody, oh, remember when we was in high school, what we used to do? You know what? I can't do that. I'm not going to do that with you. I'm not doing that with you, because I'm not that girl anymore. I'm not that person. I am a new creation. And lastly, I wanted to point out, the reconciliation, it brings us a peace. It brings us a settledness, because when we really have done what God has entrusted us to do, I'm not telling you that that means you're going to win all the time, because this isn't a video game or a game. But that doesn't mean it's always going to look like what you think it should look like. But it gives you this peace of mind, because you know that you have rested in what God has called you to do, and you've done the best you can with what you have. And so I'm not saying that that means every person you reconcile with, that that means that that person, oh, man, from here on out, it's going to be no more blips in the system. We're just going to get this train oiled and keep going. But I just want to submit to you that you can go to sleep at night and you can say, you know what? God, I've done what you asked me to do. I've approached my brother or my sister. We've had this conversation, and I'm at peace, because this is what you called me to do, and this is as far as I can do with this situation. The other thing I wanted to bring up to our attention is, and this is not something that I say often, but I think it begs for us to remember, that the Bible says that if we got something going on between our brother or our sister, we shouldn't be worshiping like everything is okay. We're supposed to be making it right first, and then we go worship. So you literally do this at the altar, and then you go make it right. So
that's
I think sometimes we forget that reconciliation has always been what God requires. Reconciliation mm-hmm. is the way we live into our image of God. So when we say we're created in God's image and we're saying, what does that mean? That means that we can use the power that God has given us to be peacemakers. And so when we're saying that we're an ambassador, before we go to, so right now I'm in Cleveland, before I go to Iowa, before I go to Nebraska, before I try to go to New Mexico and start and being an ambassador of Christ, I got to be an ambassador of my own home. I got to have reconciliation mm-hmm. in my own home. I can't go around and think that I'm going to be trying to sell people something that I can't do myself. I can't mm-hmm. look at and say, oh, well, you need to do this and you need to do that and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. But in my own home, my own family members, they can't reconcile me. My own husband, mm-hmm. I can't forgive him. My own, mm-hmm. if I had kids or my dog, whoever I'm dealing with, my nephew, my nieces, I can't say I want to forgive and make this big show. So that's why when Paul's saying we don't boast, it's because we're not doing this for a show. We're doing this because at the end of the day, it's important that we preserve the integrity of the Christian community. And I think it's only befitting that I say this. We got to watch how we act on these social media pages because we forget that it's permanent. We forget, you know, they always say it's us young people. But I'm going to tell you, some people have sent me some screenshots of something that these seasoned saints then put on here during election time, these seasoned saints getting on here and putting these posts on here, and we're just not being kind. We're just not always using the platform mm-hmm. to emulate Christ or the love of Christ. But the world is watching us. So when we get on there, we call ourselves venting our point across or getting our point across or maybe we're in emotion, the world is watching us because the world is saying, well, Dad, church, and they're on back and forth on the comments, back and forth, and, you know, I say this and I tag you and you say this and you tag me. Well, if that's what the church is doing, then I'm okay over here because if that's what they do during election season or that's what they do when they disagree, I can actually do that somewhere else. I don't need all that drama in my life. And so I want to leave you with this. That on this week, just as we know that we're new creations, I want us to really take a look at the relationships that we have, the relationships we have with each other, the relationships we have with our friends. And I want us to be brutally honest with ourselves. And I would like, if it was my heart's desire, I would like for us to really listen intently to what God is saying. Because I really believe that all of us, it could be that one family member we haven't spoke with in a while because of something real petty. It could be that one person who we used to be really, really cool with. They said something or we said something and it seemed like it just disintegrated and nobody really spoke about it. But all of us have somebody that maybe things might not never get the way it used to be, but who knows? Maybe God might create something new. Maybe God might do something new in that relationship, though it wasn't going to ever be what it used to be. But I just ask us all to really go down the list. Go down the list in our quiet time. Go down the list in our prayer time and say, Lord, who is it that you would have for me to be reconciled to? Like, seriously, who is it that I might need to have a discussion with? Who is it that might need a word of reconciliation from me? Who is it that I might have been? Because sometimes we're the villain in the story. Sometimes we're the ones who didn't say sorry or shouldn't, right? Like, it's always easy for us to know who's the villain in our story. Sometimes we're the villain in other people's story. So I would like for us to just really listen and really think through, Lord, who would you have for me to reconcile? And even if you think things are okay, it's nothing wrong with doing a little check-in, you know. I know now that part is a little bit secular, but me and my husband do it. We just say, well, how are things going? You know, and then, you know, that's a time when the person can be honest in the relationship and just say, this is how it's going. And then, obviously, if you ask somebody how it's going, I would like to hope to think you're not going to be argumentative if they say something that you don't like. But it's a space for you to just really say, you know what, let me listen to how I can be better serving in this relationship. How can I really do better in dealing with you. I do it with my nephew all the time. I ask him, how would you like me to talk to you, or how do you want to talk about this situation? And we sit down, we actually talk, and we actually listen to each other. Because at the end of the day, that's our ministry. When we come through, people should know that things have, they're going to be okay because we're around. They should know that if there's any place where they can find forgiveness, love, or wholeness, it should be because we're around. And so I just submit to you that you can walk in the ministry of reconciliation. Thank you. So now we'll open it up for comments or questions at this point.
Good evening. How are you doing tonight?
So good.
How are you doing, Sister
Preach?
Hey, listen, this is Pastor Miles, Reginald Miles, out of New Jersey. I want to welcome you to the broadcast and welcome you to the fellowship. My first time before, and I'm going to tell you something. You did an outstanding job on tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And I
thank you
because
so
you really and truly fed my soul. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm in my office right now, and you brought something to my understanding of reconciliation, a union. An understanding. Somebody's coughing. Keep on keeping on. Do your thing.
Thank you.
I enjoyed you on tonight. And as people know on this blog, it doesn't take much to set me off. You set me off tonight with your education, your articulation, and your understanding. Keep it up. God bless.
Thank you. To God be the glory.
Amen.
Amen.
Hi, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your ministry this evening. I really appreciate it, and I welcome you as well. I'm Suzanne, John Clay's wife, and we welcome you to our little group. It's a good group of folks, and we learn a lot from one another and support each other and keep lifting up our one another and our families. But I appreciate what you said. Wonderful ministry. Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Clay.
Go ahead.
Well, I just want to say this is Reverend Cameron. I'm the father-in-law of the speaker tonight, Nina Cameron. And, I could not be prouder of her and the ministry that she and my son are projecting. It's just a blessing to see those that are moving forward and bringing forth the ministry of God. So I'm just truly blessed by her word tonight. I want to say one thing in relationship, if I can, to this ministry of reconciliation. This is a subject, and I'm so glad, Sheena, that you bring it forward, and I pray that it can be further expanded throughout the church. This is an area that we as a part of the Christian fellowship must reinforce more and more. We are the most reconciled of all in the world because we are directly reconciled to Christ. And yet we are the ones that will hold grudges against others so easily and backstab others within the church so easily. And it is an area of our being that dis-escalates the church. But I just wanted to say that and just to reinforce it and just to say I am so proud of everything that you have said tonight and how you have promoted the word of God. And thank you for this ministry, for sharing so that all can be a part of it. Thank you so much.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Papa J. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, this
and
is...
Praise God. I am the Muslim law of my...
I love it.
I feel like you were talking to me. I felt like you were talking to me. I so blessed with the word today, and I'm going to put it there in my heart, and I'm going to ponder and ponder and pour you on it. I just love you, and God bless. Thank God for the ministry. May it continue to grow.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Praise God, Pastor, Sister. Pastor, you brought it. And you know what? This is Minister Edna from Long Island, New York. And let me tell you something, sis, if I may, all respect to you. I love this subject. This subject is so well needed, like your father-in-law said, you know, and reconciliation and the forgiveness. You said so much in this. I hope you can hear me clearly. What you brought
yes.
tonight, I mean, Dr. Suzanne said our little group, but this group goes all over the nation, and everyone and the blog is hearing this about reconciliation. We do need to come together. We do need to forgive. You know, a lot of times we in the body of Christ will say, oh, we'll pray about it, and God wants us to pray about it. But he also wants
right.
the action. He wants us to have action. You know, some people always say, oh, well, I'll let God handle it. God will handle it, but he gives us that certain amount of what is the word I want to use? Power to have that conversation. Sometimes
right.
we need to have the conversation. We throw things back and throw it under the bed and forget about it and think about we're forgetting about it, but then we don't, because something will come up and it will trigger. I've been a friend with a
right.
I've had a friend for like 50 years or more, and her and I has been friends. I was there when she gave birth to her son, but you know what, through the years the relationship is not the same any longer. And that's because, I'm not saying that I'm better than she is, but we're not basically on the same page.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of things that she keeps harbored in her heart, and it's like she can't get over it, even though she says, I've gotten over it. I'm talking about
right.
a hurt that she had for many, many years ago. And I could tell when a person isn't over the hurt, because when something comes up and they get, you know, angry, or you can hear the anger in their voice, you haven't gotten over it. And that's
mm-hmm.
what God wants us to do. He wants us to talk about things.
Mm-hmm.
He says in his word, there should be no schism in his body. And the word of God says there should be no schism in the body. And you talked about ego. I'm all over the place, but you talked about ego. And God gave me an acronym for ego. Ego edges God out. And when we get into our own self and our own feelings, we edge God out. We edge the Holy Spirit, Him Holy Spirit out. We edge
yeah.
out the fruit of the Spirit, that when that person steps on our toes, and they might never come back and say, I'm sorry. So then God told me a long time ago, it's not what they do. I'm going to hold you accountable for what you do.
Well,
right.
And how you act and how you react. And I mean, you said so much here today, Pastor. You said a whole lot. And I wish I had time to even.
Come on.
You have to come back. You have to come back.
You got to come back. Trust me.
You have to come back.
Got
because because the word that you've given and the word that's gone out through the airwaves and the blog and in our homes, I mean, we need to hear this. God expects us. And you're not the only one talking about forgiveness. If we can have that relationship with God, it says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and thy soul, and love thy neighbor as thyself. So if
Amen.
You look at that, it's the sign of the cross.
Uh-huh.
From God to us,
uh-huh.
us to God, and then to each other. That's a sign of the cross. We have to, I'm done now. We have to come together and understand and take time to not only pray, but to do. To do.
I like that.
Have action. I'm done.
Amen.
God bless you.
And you know something else? God bless. I know it's a mouth, and y'all know how I get, because I'm on fire right now. You know, I can't shut my mouth. But to the dad, to your dad. I know you said father-in-law. I don't believe in the law. I believe you're married. You're married. That's what it is. That's your daddy. And I'm big on the daddy-daughter relationship. Dad, daughter, y'all got it going on right now. And this is a platform right here that that'll be grateful. I mean, it'll be fruitful. And I prayed for such a ministry as this. And Sis Preacher, you there?
I'm here. Sister Preacher's here.
Okay, all right. I call all ladies Sis Preacher. That's what I do. And when I'm a male preacher, I call them, well, how you doing, Preacher? That's what I do. But keep it going on. Keep studying. And remember, as Brother Moderator say, I call him Brother Moderator. This is a round table. This is a round table. We all share and we all support and we all learn from one another. I'm on fire. I'm really trying to keep it kind of calm right now. So I'm going to mute my mic because you really gave me some things to study on. And I'm going to tell you something. I'll say this. I'm a preacher, but I've never been to a theological seminary, but you bring something to me on tonight.
Amen.
God bless you, woman of God. God bless you, woman of God. May God
bless you, says preach.
To continue to give you the revelation that you're bringing to us, and to and you know what you're saying is not just a simple thing, but it's profound.
Yes,
you know,
yes,
the little
true.
Things
That's
that
true.
We that we all tend to overlook.
Yes, yes, yes.
And that's a big thing in our life, and we really don't know it. But you know
small,
what I'm finding
small
out.
Small things get big
in,
things done. Small in, things get big
I'm
things done.
I'm finding out in these Bible study and the different prayer groups that I'm in. I'm finding out that God is saying the same thing. God is trying to critique us because He's soon
Amen.
To come. He wants the body
Amen.
Of Christ to be that
Amen.
Light, that example of His kingdom. And you know we dropped the ball. And God, like through you, is trying to let us, trying to shake us, trying to let us know, come on, this is how you're supposed to do it. This is how we do it. Remember that song? This is how we do it.
I do.
God, come on, Montel Jordan. Come on, Montel Jordan. Come on, Montel Jordan.
We move for Christ. We move in unison. That's how we're supposed to move. The church is supposed to be a oneness. Not backbiting. Not, you know, this was good, sister girl. Sister pastor.
Thank you.
All due respect, sister pastor. It was great.
Amen.
Sister girl, huh?
Thank you,
pastor. This was great.
Thank you.
God bless you and your husband's ministry.
Thank you so much.
Do we have
any
other
comments
out there?
Thank you, Pastor Sheena. All mics are open.
Thank you.
I know it's lit.
Thank you.
Mm-mm-mm.
Pastor Sheena, can you hear me?
Amen.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
This is Bill Stewart from Mount Pleasant.
Yes, it is.
And I just want to let you know that I hear her every Sunday.
Oh, praise God.
Okay. So be jealous if you want. I hear her every Sunday.
Well, we're not going to be jealous, sir, because we're going to have her on Wednesdays.
I know.
Thank
you. We have
so
a Sunday.
Much.
We got a Wednesday.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Mr. Bill.
Wow,
I appreciate you.
So good.
Amen. Any more? Are there any more comments out there? Any more comments?
Elder John, thank you for bringing this young woman. Thank you for bringing this pastor.
That was appointed by God. That was appointed by God. How this occurred. But we do thank you, Pastor Cameron, for coming on and sharing with us. And as your father-in-law has said, unfortunately, we as a church, the body of Christ, we need to get it together.
Yeah.
We need to get it together within the church, and he said it so right. In the church, that's the place where they hold the most grudges. And we're trying to get people inside the church, inside those four walls, and the church is responding like that. That's the problem. That's the problem.
God won't allow.
The body of Christ needs to begin to start to operate together and not separate.
Say it.
Christ has already done his job, and now it's time for us to do our job. Whatever part, whatever part that you play, if you're the arm, the leg, the foot, whatever the case, we cannot be jealous because the arm does one thing and the leg does something different. We cannot be jealous for that. If anything, everything works together for the – listen, God is ahead of everything that we do, and everything is centered around God. And that's what this whole – I love it in terms of what this scripture where you was coming from. I love it. I love it. And that is just so awesome in terms of just basically talking about how we are and how we should respond. I'm going to say this also. Her husband is also a pastor, and we're going to get him. He doesn't know it or not, but we're going to get him on also at one
Praise
time
God.
Or another. So I don't know if he's on or not, but just let him know. We're going to be looking for him to come with the word as well. So we do thank the family.
He's not on my physical line. He's in the room with me, but he's not on a separate phone. But he will be able to speak at an appointed time.
Please pass that on to him. You know that it's open up for him as well and. You know, coming to sharing a word. I believe he's at, a church in Cleveland as well. We do thank God for using both of you. I think it's wonderful coming here and both of you are serving in two different places as pastors. I think that is so awesome. That is so awesome. And then hearing, from your father-in-law and your mother-in-law joining in, that's a family thing. And I just think, it's beautiful when families, can dwell together in unity and in spirit. It is so beautiful. Yeah. Listen, Pastor.
Can I just say one more thing, Elder John? Something that that you also said, Pastor, that brought a scripture to my mind is that once we preach to everyone else, the Bible talks about that. You preach to everyone, and then you yourself, and I'm paraphrasing, then you yourself is a castaway. God don't want us to be castaway. Yes. He wants us to walk in it, talk in it, breathe in it, preach it, say it, and live it. Live it.
Amen.
We don't want to be no castaway. And you know what? I believe it grieves him, Holy Spirit, when we act like crazy, off-the-hook people. God wants us to get in line. And stop the chucking and jiving and be serious about the kingdom of God. Because he's soon to come, and you know what? He's soon to come, and he's going to hold us responsible.
Amen. Accountability.
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Amen.
I'm
Amen.
Done now.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.
Woman of God.
Amen.
God bless you.
We do thank you for tuning in on Blog Talk Radio. We are New Beginnings Ministry. We're here every Wednesday, and we do invite ministers, pastors, bishops from all different states to become a part of this blog radio talk so that we all, as the body of Christ, can gain something from it.
Amen.
It doesn't make a difference where you're from. God has poured into so many people and so many places, and we can try to open it up for that. As we come to a close, I'm going to ask Dr. Suzanne if she would close us out in prayer. And
Amen.
We do thank you. I think next week we're in New Jersey with our pastor from New Jersey, and we do invite you to join in.
Okay. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name, oh Father.
Yes.
Father God, we praise you and we thank you, Father God, for this evening, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for the word that has gone forth, Father God. We pray, Lord, that it has fallen on fertile soil, Father God, that it takes root, Father God, that the harvest comes, Father God, and it'll be multiplied, Father God, as we spread the word, Father God. Spread the seeds, Father God, that have been planted and the knowledge that we have. Let us meditate on what we've learned, Father God. Meditate tonight, Father God, and let us be eager, Father God, to hear from you, dear Lord, on how we should apply. We praise you and we thank you, Father God. I thank you, Lord, for Reverend Sheena, Father God. I thank you, Lord, that you would bless her ministry, Father God. Bless her coming and going, Father God. Bless her home, Father God, and her marriage and her husband, Father God. Bless what she's doing in her church, Father God. I thank you, Lord, that you placed her in a wonderful position, Father God, in Mount Pleasant, Father God. I thank you, Lord, as that neighborhood, Father God, begins to come back, Father God, that she puts her feet down firmly, Father God, takes root, Father God, and that she does the work that you've planted her there to do, dear Lord. We praise you and thank you, Lord, for young people like her, Father God, coming back and claiming the good, the work in the kingdom, Father God. We praise you and we thank you. Father God, we also pray for each and every household that's represented in this circle, Father God, all those that are listening right now in real time, Father God, all those who are will listen later, Father God, all those who wanted to be here, Father God, that their homes are blessed right now, that the Holy Spirit fills each and every home, Father God, in each and every room, Father God. Father God, giving a spirit of peace, Father God. Let us rest peacefully, dear Lord. And until we come together again, Father God, let us be protected by your ministering and warring angels, Father God. And we continue, Father God, to look to you. In Jesus' sweet and holy name, amen. Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
Once again, we thank you. Remember, we love you. God loves you. Until next week.
I can look.